It is my pleasure to welcome back Dr. Joseph Guarino, a very talented cardiologist at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. This is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Joseph Guarino. And today's important topic is winter heart health. And you've heard me talk behind Dr. Guarino's back when I've talked to you about the work that Dr. Guarino has done with holiday heart syndrome. It's a very real thing. I mean, people that do things in excess at the holiday season, it's no joke. I'm sure that in some way, shape, matter, form will come up. Dr. Guarino, as I mentioned, very, very talented cardiologist and board certified in cardiovascular disease. Dr. Guarino earned his medical degree from UCNE Faculty of Medicine in the Dominican Republic. After medical school, Dr. Guarino completed a residency in internal medicine at Jersey Shore Medical Center in Neptune, New Jersey. And Dr. Guarino went on to complete a fellowship in cardiology at the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta, Georgia. And Dr. Guarino, you're a veteran to the program. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Harry? Nice to talk to you again.
It is great to talk to you, sir. And this is a very important topic because, you know, things happen during the winter, not just the holiday season, but also cold weather. And we're going to talk about a lot of these things this half hour with Dr. Guarino. I want to remind all of Dr. Guarino's listeners that to schedule an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, you can call, and I'll give you the number, 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080. And from any digital device, handheld, laptop, desktop, so on and so forth, iPads, whatever, demanddeborah.org. First question on today's important topic with Dr. Joseph Guarino is the winter heart health issues. And our first question, I think, is a good starting point. How does cold weather affect the heart and the vascular system?
Well, it's the immediate effect is to tighten up your blood vessels and your hands, feet, arms, and legs to try to redivert blood flow to your main organs in the body. But that the tightening of the blood vessels in turn makes the heart work a little harder because it's pumping against those tightened arteries. Also, the cold can thicken the blood, make you a little more prone to clots, things like that.
Wow. So cold is no joke, is it?
No, it isn't. And it can, which is why you want to be prepared when you go out into the cold. I think we'll talk a little bit about that. But it can have a lot of effects and immediate effects. So you want to be careful.
Two-part question. Can holiday stress actually take a toll on the heart? And if so, how does stress affect the heart?
Two things that actually can cause heart attack are physical exertion or emotional stress. Emotional stress is common in the holidays for a variety of reasons, but that increases the workload on the heart, may increase your blood pressure, increase heart rate, things like that. All of those things, in turn, may place you at greater risk if there's some underlying problem with circulation to your heart, particularly. So you want to be aware of any symptoms that may come up to just in case that happens.
Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Joseph Guarino. Our discussion this half hour is winter heart health. Again, to make an appointment, 609-621-2080, or you can use any digital device, demanddeborah.org, and you will see the hyperlink right there on the home screen in terms of directing you to scheduling your appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Obviously, this is also a very big deal, and we're here in it now. It's sometimes in the teens at night. It's been under freezing, so it's happening. The winter months, how do you protect your heart during outdoor exercise or exertion? And it's in the forecast, actually, for the metro market in New Jersey and all the way through to Philadelphia for at least an inch, maybe 1 to 3 inches here in southern New Jersey of snow. And people that shouldn't be going out there, that what are they going to do? They want to clear out their walk paths and be able to get to their cars and get their cars out.
Right.
So they wind up doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. What do you say about all that?
Well, obviously, you want to be careful and approach it in a safe way. We obviously all have to go out in the cold sometimes to do those things. But you want to kind of warm up inside a little bit first, perhaps. Maybe a little light exercise, not even exercise. But just be sure you're warm before going out. But then you want to dress to keep the heat in, if you will. So dress in layers. Have a shirt and a sweater and maybe a jacket and a heavier coat. All those things may be a little cumbersome to get around in. However, they're keeping the heat in the layers within those materials, and that helps to protect your body. You want to minimize heat loss. Wearing a hat is helpful because you lose a lot of heat through your head, things like that. So warm up a little bit before you go out. Go out. When you go out, take your time doing things you're doing out there. In other words, don't be doing things very strenuous all of a sudden.
There you go.
If you have to shovel somewhere, shovel a small area, take a break, warm up a little bit, go back out, shovel a little bit more. Don't try to do all things at once. I've seen patients, actually young patients, who have collapsed in the snow with a sudden cardiac event, and they thought they were young and healthy. So if you have any heart condition already that you know about, or if you're just getting up in age a little bit, you want to be careful and not just run out willy-nilly and do things that may be putting a lot of work onto your heart.
I mean, you said it, but I'm just going to do this as a point of emphasis. There are people listening right now that they should not be shoveling snow, correct?
That's correct. You know, and it's difficult when obviously you're the only one maybe who can do it in the house.
Yeah.
But people who have a cardiac condition want to be very careful when they do it. So take your time, small areas at a time, take breaks, all that kind of thing. You know, my wife used to tell me to go out and shovel the snow, and I'd say, well, God put it there, he'll take it away. So
that's so good. That's fantastic. I love that.
And she'd yell at me, you know, but you do want to be careful when you go, because there's a lot more workload on your heart for a variety of reasons, on your vasculature and things like that, and the effects on the blood and whatnot. So
true. It's so all heavy. Of those it can be very heavy.
To play.
Moving snow.
Yeah, snow is very heavy, wet, yes.
Yeah.
Very heavy, wet snow, yeah, sure. A lot of work.
So if you are someone...
If you're out of shape, you're really even greater danger. You
exactly.
Know, if you're physically not in shape.
If you're someone that exercises outdoors or has to spend a lot of time outdoors, I know this almost sounds like I'm repeating a similar question, but I want to do it as a standalone because I think it is that important. You talked about layers and things like that, but do you need to warm up before exercising outdoors? In other words, if you go right out the front door and you start your run, that wouldn't seem to me to be a very smart thing to do.
I agree. It's, you know, it's a shock to the body, basically. It reminds me of the polar bear club where people run into the ocean in the middle of winter. That shock all of a sudden on the body can have tremendous effects, particularly if you have an underlying problem that you may be unaware of. So just going outdoors in the winter months, you want to be careful about that. People I see jogging in the winter and things like that where the temperature is below 45 or below 40, and I'm going, why are you doing this? You know, I think about the dangers in doing that they may feel like, well, I could do this, you know, I'm tough. I can run out in the cold. It doesn't bother me. But it's putting a tremendous stress on your body. So if you're even prone to having a difficulty, and it may be something like a heart rhythm problem that suddenly develops, but that's, you know, if you have underlying problem, let's say with circulation to the heart that you're unaware of, well, doing things like that may bring that out all of a sudden. So you want to kind of warm up. You want to kind of not necessarily even exercise when the temperature gets below 50 degrees outside. If you tend to jog or things like that, you know, take a second thought and make sure you want to do that type of thing, because it is a lot more workload on your entire body.
Good advice. We are visiting with Dr. Joseph Guarino, cardiologist. The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and today's topic with Dr. Guarino is winter heart health. Our listeners may have heard of holiday heart syndrome. In my intro of you, doctor, I mentioned, you know, this is something that, you know, you talk about and you lecture about, and there's a video of you doing a really masterclass tutorial on holiday heart syndrome. During the holiday season, family celebrations, parties, gatherings, overindulging in food, beverage, could be alcohol, you know, nature, all of this. Can this affect the heart? Can it cause AFib? Your thoughts about that dynamic question.
Sure. You basically covered it. All of those factors that come into play in the holiday season. You may be traveling, you may be visiting with relatives. The time is very busy. You're very active and things like that. You may be indulging in different foods that you wouldn't normally eat and overdoing that at times. The big part of it, however, is with holiday heart, is the alcohol consumption, again, which may increase during the holiday season. Patients will present suddenly with a typically atrial fibrillation, which, for people that don't know what that is exactly, it's a completely irregular heart rhythm originating in the top chambers of the heart that can cause impulses to occur at a rate of up to 450 beats per minute. Fortunately, the bottom chambers don't react that quickly, but the rates may be 150 to 200 range with atrial fibrillation. And if you have an underlying problem with your heart, that may be dangerous. But alcohol is usually the trigger for that type of thing. So if you're having, you're overindulging, having a few extra drinks, things like that, you may, and you start to develop symptoms, those symptoms may be palpitations, maybe shortness of breath, maybe dizziness, maybe chest discomfort, things like that. Then you may want to be checked. You may want to get to an emergency room to see what's going on. Many times that's a very limited problem. It kind of resolves itself over a number of hours. We may, if you come to the emergency room, we may check for other things, make sure there's no acute injury going on to the heart, but also try to slow the heart rate down a bit for you so it's not racing so fast.
So you could actually become an accidental tourist that had a one-time event brought on by doing things that you almost never do, and then you should be guided accordingly to avoid doing that again, I would think.
Well, sure, yeah, because you may be prone to, some people are more prone than others to developing rhythm problems, so you might want to, you know, take that into account before Christmas comes around next year, or the holiday seasons come around next year, where you might overindulge. It can happen, obviously, any time during the year, but alcohol is many times a trigger for that type of thing. So you just be mindful of that and try not to overindulge.
We only take one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Today, Dr. Guarino, a return command performance engagement. We have visited several times with Dr. Joseph Guarino on air, and he just does a beautiful job each and every time imparting information that we know we've heard from listeners can literally save lives. And in fact, in certain cases, we've had people come on air and say such that Deborah Heart and Lung Center saved their life. This is serious stuff. You can schedule an appointment, 609-621-2080, or demanddeborah.org, and you'll be directed to the website and right to the schedule appointment hyperlink from the website. The topic this half hour is winter heart health. When we come back, Dr. Guarino will address, can prescription medications affect the heart in the colder months? We'll talk about that and more when we come back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. It's 19 minutes past the hour. It's basically just a little past halftime of this program. And we are back that quick at 20 minutes past the hour with Dr. Joseph Guarino. And the topic on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Dr. Guarino, today is winter heart health. When we left you just a moment ago, a quick moment ago, we posed the question, can prescription medications affect the heart in the colder months? Dr. Guarino, what say you?
I agree. Yeah, they certainly can. Particular medicines that come to mind for me, which we use quite commonly for patients because they are beneficial in a number of ways from a cardiac standpoint, are what are called beta blockers. There are various kinds of beta blockers, however, so it depends on which one's being used. But what they do is they protect the heart by slowing the heart rate a little bit, reducing the workload on the heart, reducing blood pressure. So they're very protective. But a kind of a side effect of some of these beta blockers are that they don't block certain receptors on the blood vessels and consequently cause constriction or tightening of those blood vessels. Many patients will come in complaining of cold hands and cold feet during the winter months, and they're very uncomfortable with it. And what I do sometimes is change the beta blocker, because the beta blocker may be very, very beneficial for the patient's cardiac condition, but it's causing these side effects, particularly in the colder months. So I'll alter or switch to a different beta blocker, which has the property of also dilating the blood vessels a little bit to kind of minimize those effects on the peripheral circulation.
Dr. Guarino, if it's doing its job for the heart, that's great. But if your hands are cold and your feet are cold, Is that because not enough blood is getting to the outer extremities?
Well, that may be, and that's partly from the cold, because as we talked about already, the blood vessels will tighten up in response to cold, but the medication is also doing that.
Got it.
So in the warmer months, you may not be aware of it, but as the weather gets colder, you may be particularly or acutely aware of it, where the hands and feet become very cold, and patients become very uncomfortable with it. I wouldn't say stop the medication, because it has so many beneficial effects,
right,
that you don't want to just discontinue it, but you may want to alter the type of medication they're on. And sometimes we'll switch off the beta blocker, at least for a time, and can use things like calcium channel blockers. It really depends on what it's being used for, particularly, because beta blockers have greater value in a lot of different conditions, from heart failure through heart attack and heart rhythm problems, et cetera. So you don't want to just stop those, but you want to maybe adjust them so the patient is more comfortable in the colder weather by relaxing the blood vessels peripherally.
Dr. Guarino,
and keeping warm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Gloves. No, that's fine. Gloves, boots, you know, all 9 yards.
Exactly. Because, yeah, sometimes once you get cold, it's tough. You just tough to get warm if your hands and feet are
right.
Cold. It's very uncomfortable. I was thinking about this, and I know these are things that you talk to your patients about. And when patients pick up their prescriptions, they should look at it where it says, like, to keep it in a, you know, certain dry place at a certain temperature.
Right.
If you were to put certain medication in your car, and I'm sure there are people that have done that because they just don't think about it and they want to make sure they have it, so I'll keep it in the car. Well, it gets 120 degrees in the car,
right,
and even higher in the summer, and it gets below freezing in the winter months. So talk to your listeners about, you know, efficacy and how, and actually I understand there's some drugs that actually can become a problem to take it after,
sure,
it's been in the wrong temperature. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree fully, and it's tricky. You know, you don't want to have the patient forget to take their medications. So you want to make it convenient for them as possible. But those variations in temperature certainly can have effects on either pills or capsules, particularly where in the hotter weather they may melt or, you know, blend together, if you will, which may affect how well they work for you, or whether they work at all for you. So you want to be cautious in that regard. But more importantly, you want to be sure to take the medications as they're prescribed. But keeping them out of the extremes of temperature, I think, is certainly a reasonable thing to do.
You are listening to Deborah Heart and Lung Center's Dr. Joseph Guarino, and the topic this half hour is winter heart health. Can over-the-counter cold and flu medications raise blood pressure or cause heart problems?
Sure. The ones we see most commonly are antihistamines, which obviously you use quite commonly if you have a runny nose and or stuffy nose, things like that. The antihistamines and decongestants, or their combination of the two, can commonly cause an elevation in blood pressure and heart rate. So people who are prone, let's say, to high blood pressure have to be careful with it. It's not that you can never use these medications, but there's certain ones you may want to avoid and use sparingly if you can, so that you don't, you know, produce an extreme elevation of blood pressure or heart rate, because it can affect rhythm problems as well. So the decongestants are probably a little more prone to do that type of thing, but antihistamines certainly can as well. There are a group of products which are kind of give you a clue as to what they may or may not do, or who can take them and who shouldn't. And if you look on the shelves at the pharmacy, you might see those, because they package them that way, actually. So that if you're prone to high blood pressure, it would tell you to use this product rather than another. And they're selecting different medicines within those antihistamine groups and things that are maybe a little safer. But if you need to take something like that, you want to just be sure you're kind of following your blood pressure and watching for signs of rapid heart rates, things like that, or any other symptoms that might develop when you start taking the medication. If you see those things, then stop the medication. Maybe talk to your doc about getting something else that may be a little more appropriate.
Sometimes we make this a standalone topic, what I'm about to mention, but I wanted to bring it up to you to give you, Dr. Guarino, an opportunity to talk to your listeners about it, how important it is to use one pharmacy so that all of your prescriptions are known, so that it, in case you're going to take something else that might interact badly. You know, your thoughts about the importance of that.
Sure. I think just being familiar with the pharmacist in one particular place, maybe, because many of them are there for years. You know, they get to know the customers and things like that, and get to know your individual prescriptions and your conditions, because you can chat with them about them, and they have little consultation areas where you can talk to the pharmacists about things if you have any questions or whatever. But I think that's a great idea. You don't want to be bouncing around to different pharmacies, because then nobody's going to know what you're doing. And taking combinations of things sometimes can be very problematic, depending on your underlying condition.
And like you said, having that relationship built so that you know them, they know you, you can have that consult. And because, as you well know, so in the computer, it would say, oh, look at this. You can't take that. That would not be good because you take this.
Right.
But you might be taking stuff over the counter. That also could be a problem. So that's also important to keep that straight, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And that's where it's helpful. With the bigger pharmacies now, that gets a little trickier. You know, when you had the mom and pop kind of pharmacies, they would get to know you personally, really. Yeah. So that it was very helpful in that regard, just to kind of protect you, you know, from making a mistake as far as mixing medications or taking things that may have a combination of effect, and now you've really accelerated a process that may put you at some risk. So it's, and, you know, talk to the people that know what they're doing there. You know, that's what they're there for, not only filling your bottles, but helping you understand what the medicine is for and what side effects you might look for, et cetera, et cetera.
29 minutes and, past the hour. Oh, please continue. Cool. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, should you have a side effect, you know, don't hesitate to call your doc. I'm sure they'll be happy to chat with you over the phone briefly and tell you what to do or not to do.
We have about 7 minutes with Dr. Guarino for today. Again, to make an appointment with Dr. Joseph Guarino, 609-621-2080 or demanddebora.org online on their website. And there is a very pronounced hyperlink right to scheduling an appointment from the digital app or the website as well. Who, Dr. Guarino, is most at risk for heart-related events in cold weather?
Well, I would say it actually can be young children and older adults, maybe more prone to it. And also, if somebody has an already known underlying problem with their heart, then they may be at greater risk of extremes of temperature. You know, the cold or hot or heat, you know, it can be either way. But the if you have, say, coronary artery disease, and now you're exposing yourself to very cold weather and shoveling snow and things like that, you may be putting yourself at greater risk of having an acute heart attack. So you want to not take that lightly. You know, you want to be aware of your condition and what limits you may place on yourself or that your doc tells you should avoid doing because it may put you at greater risk. People have heart failure, which is an extremely common problem in the United States, and that's actually getting worse as years go by. But the heart muscle there, it may be weakened from previous injury and things like that. So if you go out now and try to do a typical shoveling of snow over your walkway, now you're adding all that extra workload onto your heart, which may be borderline to begin with.
There you go.
And now you provoke an episode of heart failure where all of a sudden fluid is backing up into your lungs and you can't breathe and things like that.
Yeah, you feel like you're getting by, but then you go exert and it it can bring on something very, very serious. Now, it sort of follows up perfect with what you were just talking about, Dr. Guarino. What are the symptoms and what should someone do if they think that they're in cardiac distress or having a heart attack?
Well, the first thing we want to be, you want to stop what you're doing, obviously, activity-wise.
Good call.
But if you have a persistent, say, and cardiac symptoms classically are pressure sensation, an oppressive feeling in the center of the chest, which may radiate up to the throat or to the lower jaw or to the inner aspect of the left arm. That's classical angina. And that may come on by physical exertion or emotional stress, I think I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
But physical exertion can certainly bring that on. Those are classical signs. The problem is women present very commonly with completely atypical symptoms. They may have none of those things. They may get a back pain, or they may just get discomfort in the arm or the jaw and not have anything that they feel in the chest. However, if you have those symptoms, you should stop what you're doing. If they're persistent, lasting more than 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, then I would call 911. If you have no history before, this is new, I would call an ambulance, go to the emergency room, let them check you out. because what they'll do is an EKG right away. They can do a blood test immediately, which looks at early changes that might indicate some injury going on to the heart. And the sooner you get there, if there is something going on, the quicker they can take care of it for you.
So important.
And hopefully minimize any injury, you know?
This, I think, is also important because I think in the summertime, people think about staying hydrated. You get thirsty. You're hot. You know, it's quenching. You think more about hydrating in the summer. Is it important to stay hydrated in the winter?
It is, yes. It is very important to stay hydrated in the winter as well. You want to avoid dehydration, obviously. If you're out there doing things, shoveling snow or doing whatever you are in the snow, you're expending energy. You may lose fluid through sweat and things like that. So you want to stay, you want to avoid dehydration. You want to stabilize blood pressure by taking in enough fluids. And you want to avoid clots. If your blood is drier, if you will, relatively, you may be more prone to forming clots, which can lead to greater problems. So staying well hydrated may lessen the degree of that going on.
So you'd have two things going on there, because you mentioned earlier in your program, Dr. Guarino, that the cold weather can make the blood more prone to clotting. And now if you were dehydrated, you've got the double whammy.
Compounding the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
So
compounding
important.
Compounding the problem.
Sure. Let me ask you to talk about mental health, such as a seasonal type affective disorder or mood that affects. Does that affect the heart?
Well, it's a good thing I have a degree in psychology as well.
There you go.
I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. But anyway.
You're the right guy.
Certainly, you know, depression is a very common problem during the holiday seasons. You know, people may be alone or their family is far away, things like that. So mood and problems like that certainly can have an effect on your heart. Depression can certainly have an effect on your heart. It's adding stress. You know, you're mentally, you're thinking about all these things. You're reminiscing, perhaps, or you're lonely and things like that. All of those things can increase the workload on your heart.
Yeah.
As I said in the beginning, physical exertion or emotional stress are the two causes of cardiac events.
I am so fascinated by that answer, because every year we make it a point to remember on this program to talk about the fact that sort of the default position is that this is just an extraordinarily joyous time of year, and it can be, and for many people it is.
Yes.
And you exchange love and gifts and have great meals and all this stuff. But for some people, for a variety of reasons, either they may be without means or whatever, could be chemical, whatever, it's a very sad time. For many people,
it can be sure. Or they've lost someone, and now they don't have that person to share the holidays with again. You know, so all those types of things come into play.
I'm going to draw the Deborah Heart and Lung Center map, because you really do cover a great portion of the state down here south, you know, in the Browns Mills area and beyond. So all over the state, the Delaware Valley is basically looking at tomorrow. If you're in the Philadelphia area, which I know is Deborah Heart and Lung Center country, or Sunday rather, about maybe an inch of snow. The forecasts are saying here in where we are, Doctor, you know where I'm at, in southern New Jersey, maybe 1 to 3 inches. It's like a 90% chance that we're going to have a snow event. What would you say in closing, we're in the final minute, to your listeners relative to the first snow of the year and shoveling snow? If there's even if there's an inch or two or three, that's not nothing. Your thoughts about engaging in that at this time?
Go to Florida. No, I'm kidding.
I'm with you. Spirit Air, I'm with you. All problems solved.
That's right. But all the things we mentioned, be sure that if you're going to go out and shovel some snow or things like that, or just do whatever out around your house, things like that, be sure you dress warmly. And you may want to warm up a little bit before you go out. But don't stay out too long. Take short breaks, or take breaks after being out for a short period of time. Don't do any too heavy living. Like if the snow is very wet and heavy, that's a lot of work on your heart. So you want to be careful, as well as your muscles. You know, if you're not used to doing it, you can strain a muscle and things like that generally. But cardiac-wise, you don't want to bring on an acute problem by overexerting yourself. So if it's wet, heavy snow, that's one thing to be very cautious about. But also, pace yourself out. Do a small area, plan what you're going to do, and then take a break. And then go out and do a little bit more, and then take another break. You know, there's no rush. It's not going anywhere. right away. But take your time, be sure you're feeling okay in between, warm up a little bit in between, and, you know, just pace yourself.
Dr. Joseph Guarino, honor to present you, sir. That's Winter Heart Health for now. Until we meet again, have a great day, my friend.
You too. Stay well.
You too.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, great to be with you. Happy holidays to you as well.